Chapter 6, Lifespan Development. Introduction. One of the most interesting things about humans is that we evolve, not just as a species, but as people over our lifespan. EMTs must be aware of both the obvious and subtle changes a person undergoes physically and mentally at various stages of life, and understand how these changes may alter the approach to patient care. Infants. As any parent can attest, infants ages 1 month to 1 year develop at a startling rate. Neonates, from birth to 1 month, are covered in detail in Chapter 31, Obstetrics and Neonatal Care. Physical changes. Vital signs. Table 6.1 lists the normal ranges of vital signs for various age groups. The general rule is the younger the person, the faster the pulse rate and respirations. At birth, a pulse rate of 90 to 180 beats per minute and a respiratory rate of 30 to 60 breaths per minute are considered normal. Within the first half hour after birth, a neonate's pulse rate often drops to 120 beats per minute, and the respiratory rate falls between 30 to 40 breaths per minute. By age 1 year, the respiratory rate slows to 20 to 30 breaths per minute. Tidal volume in neonates starts at 6 to 8 milliliters per kilogram. By the end of the first year, the volume increases to 10 to 15 milliliters per kilogram. Blood pressure directly corresponds to the patient's weight, so it typically increases with age. At birth, the average systolic blood pressure of a neonate is 50 to 70 millimeters of mercury. By 1 year of age, it ranges between 70 and 95 millimeters of mercury. Weight. A neonate usually weighs 6 to 8 pounds, 3 to 3.5 kilograms at birth. Remarkably, the head accounts for 25% of its body weight. In the first week after birth, neonates usually lose 5% to 10% of their birth weight due to fluid loss. By week 2, the neonate begins to gain weight. From here on, infants grow at a rate of about 30 grams per day, doubling their weight by 4 to 6 months and tripling it by the end of the first year. Cardiovascular system. Prior to birth, fetal circulation occurs through the placenta. During the birthing process, hormones and pressure changes help the neonate make the transition from fetal circulation to independent circulation. See Chapter 31, Obstetrics and Neonatal Care, for more information about fetal circulation. Pulmonary system. Prior to a neonate's first breath, the lungs have never been inflated. A neonate's first breath is therefore forceful. It has to be. Neonates are primarily nose breathers. Infants younger than 6 months are particularly prone to nasal congestion, which can cause viral upper respiratory infections. If you receive a call for a baby choking, make sure the nasal passages are clear and unobstructed by mucus. The rib cage of an infant is less rigid, and the ribs sit horizontally. This explains the diaphragmatic breathing, belly breathing, in infants. Two other important anatomic points related to an infant's airway, when compared with an adult's, are the proportionally large size of the tongue and the proportionally shorter and narrower airway. As a result of these factors, infants can much more easily occlude their airway than older children or adults can. When providing bag mask ventilations to an infant, you need to be aware that an infant's lungs are fragile. Ventilations that are too forceful can result in trauma from pressure or barotrauma. Due to the large size of the infant's occiput and the increased flexibility of the trachea, the airway can easily be inadvertently occluded by incorrect positioning, either overextension or overflexion. Infants also have very little reserves available to assist with breathing. The muscles they use to breathe are immature. They can manage normal requirements easily, but can become fatigued when stressed. The number of alveoli in the infant's lungs is relatively low. Fortunately, the amount of oxygen that the infant needs is also relatively low. As the infant grows and moves more, the need for greater amounts of oxygen triggers a growth in the number of alveoli. However, in very small infants, respiratory problems can quickly turn life-threatening. Infants who are struggling to breathe can quickly tire, become overheated, and even dehydrated. Nervous system. Although the infant's nervous system is developed at birth, its evolution continues after birth. For example, the neonate lacks the ability to localize and isolate a particular response to sensation. When neonates are born, they tend to move their extremities together. They do not have independent arm or leg movements until many weeks later. A neonate is born with certain reflexes. The Moro reflex, startle reflex, happens when a neonate is caught off guard by something or someone. The neonate opens his or her arms wide, spreads the fingers, and seems to grab at things. A palmar grasp occurs when an object is placed into the neonate's palm. The rooting reflex takes place when something touches a neonate's cheek. The neonate will instinctively turn his or her head toward the touch. In conjunction with the sucking reflex, which occurs when a neonate's lips are stroked, these reflexes are often tested when feeding. A neonate's fontanelles allow the head to be molded, for example, when the neonate passes through the birth canal. These three or four bones of the skull eventually bind together and form suture joints. The posterior fontanelle normally fuses by the third month of life. The anterior fontanelle fuses between 9 and 18 months of age. If either of the fontanelles is depressed, the infant is most likely dehydrated. A bulging fontanelle is indicative of increased intracranial pressure. It is wonderful to watch an infant grow. At birth, the neonate is not able to do much without assistance. He or she cannot turn over or even focus his or her eyes beyond a very short distance. Sleep patterns begin to develop. But by 2 months of age, the infant is able to track objects with his or her eyes and should recognize familiar faces. At 6 months of age, the infant is able to sit upright and begins to make cooing and babbling sounds. By 12 months of age, the infant can walk with assistance and even knows his or her name. Immune system. While in the womb, fetuses collect antibodies from the maternal blood. For the first year of life, the infant maintains some of the mother's immunities, so he or she has naturally acquired passive immunities. Infants can also receive antibodies via breastfeeding, further bolstering their immune system. Psychosocial changes. An infant's psychosocial development begins at birth and continues to evolve as the infant interacts with and reacts to the environment. Parents often obsess about whether their child is developing within the socially accepted norms. Table 6-2 outlines typical ages at which major psychosocial changes are noticed. In most infants, the primary method of communicating distress is through crying. Parents can often tell what is upsetting their child simply by listening to the tone of the child's crying. That is, they know the difference between tears for anger, frustration, pain, fear, hunger, discomfort, and sleepiness. Infants occasionally make another distinct cry, an alarming, distressed cry. This cry may be heard when an unexpected event occurs, causing a situational crisis for the infant. The key to having a happy, healthy infant is spending time with the child. Nevertheless, infants often have their own timetable as to when they will become attached to their parents and other family members. Bonding, or the formation of a close, personal relationship, is usually based on a secure attachment. A secure attachment occurs when an infant understands that parents or caregivers will be responsive to his or her needs. This realization encourages a child to reach out and explore, knowing that the parents will provide a safety net. Another type of attachment, referred to as anxious-avoidant attachment, is observed in infants who are repeatedly rejected. In this attachment style, children show little emotional response to their parents or caregivers and treat them as they would strangers. These children develop an isolated lifestyle where they do not have to depend on the support and care of others. Separation anxiety is common in older infants. This normal reaction peaks between 10 and 18 months and involves clingy behavior and fear of unfamiliar places and people. Protesting by crying is another normal reaction in older infants. As infants become accustomed to their homes and families, they begin to need the security of a predictable environment. If the infant's environment is too unpredictable, the infant may despair and become withdrawn, which leads to trust issues. Trust and mistrust refers to a stage of development from birth to about 18 months of age that involves an infant's needs being met by his or her parents or caregivers. When caregivers and parents provide an organized routine environment, the infant gains trust in those individuals. If the environment is not perceived as secure by the infant, a sense of mistrust will develop. Toddlers and preschoolers. Physical changes. In toddlers, ages 1 to 3 years, the pulse rate is 90 to 150 beats per minute, and the respiratory rate is 20 to 30 breaths per minute, slower than the corresponding vital signs in infants, whereas the systolic blood pressure is higher, 80 to 100 millimeters of mercury. The average temperature of children this age is 96.8 degrees Fahrenheit to 99.6 degrees Fahrenheit, usually leveling off at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit by school age. In preschoolers, ages 3 to 6 years, the pulse rate is 80 to 140 beats per minute, and the respiratory rate is 20 to 25 breaths per minute. The systolic blood pressure is 80 to 100 millimeters of mercury. At the same time, weight gain should level off. A toddler's cardiovascular system is not dramatically different from an adult's. A toddler's lungs continue to develop more terminal bronchioles and alveoli. Although toddlers and preschoolers have more lung tissue, they do not have well-developed lung musculature. This anomaly prevents them from sustaining deep or rapid respirations for an extended period of time. The loss of passive immunity is possibly the most obvious development at this stage of human life. Colds often develop that may manifest as gastrointestinal distress or upper respiratory tract infections. As toddlers spend more time around playmates and classmates, they acquire their own immunity, as the body is exposed to various viruses and germs. Neuromuscular growth also makes considerable progress at this age. Toddlers and preschoolers spend a great deal of time finding out exactly how to use their expansive nervous system and the muscles it controls by walking, running, jumping, and playing catch. Watching children play as they age from 1 to 6 years demonstrates how they move from gross motor activities, grabbing an object with the full palm, to fine motor activities, picking up a crayon. By the end of this stage, preschoolers will have a brain that weighs 90% of its final adult weight. In addition, all of this playing places stress on the muscles and bones. Consequently, muscle mass increases, as does bone density. This stage also includes the continued development of the renal system and of elimination patterns, i.e. toilet training. Physiologically, toddlers have the neuromuscular control capable for bladder control by 12 to 15 months of age. However, the child may not be psychologically ready until 18 to 30 months of age. The average age for completion of toilet training is 28 months of age. Other developments that occur during this time frame include the emergence of baby teeth. Teething, i.e. teeth breaking through the gums, can be painful and accompanied by fever. In addition, parents and toddlers are enthralled with sensory development, for example, tickling. Psychosocial changes. This period of development is often exciting for parents. Toddlers or preschoolers are learning to speak and express themselves, thereby taking a major step toward independence. At the same time, toddlers are very attached to their parents and feel safe with them. Separation anxiety peaks between 10 and 18 months of age. It is fascinating to watch a child struggle through the conflict of wanting to play, yet wanting to be protected. At 36 months of age, in most toddlers, basic language is mastered. By the age of 3 or 4 years, most children can use and understand full sentences. As they progress through this stage, they will go from using language to communicate what they want to using language creatively and playfully. This is also the time when toddlers begin to interact with other children and start to play games. Playing games teaches control, following of rules, and even competitiveness. Significant learning and development takes place by the child watching his or her peers during group outings, such as playdates with other children. By 18 to 24 months, toddlers begin to understand cause and effect. Of course, behavior observed on television and computers can also be learned, which is why some parents limit their children's viewing choices or the amount of time they devote to these activities. During this phase of development, children also learn to recognize sexual differences by observing their role models. School-age children. Physical changes. From ages 6 to 12 years, a school-age child's vital signs and body gradually approach those observed in adulthood. The pulse rate is approximately 70 to 120 beats per minute. The respiratory rate, 15 to 20 breaths per minute. And blood pressure is 80 to 110 millimeters of mercury. Obvious physical traits and body function changes become apparent as most children grow about 4 pounds, 2 kilograms, and 2.5 inches, 6 centimeters each year. Permanent teeth also come in during this period, and brain activity increases in both hemispheres. Psychosocial changes. School-aged children are engaged in a lot of psychosocial growing up. Parents as a whole do not devote as much time to their children during this phase. Nevertheless, it is at this critical time in human development that children learn various types of reasoning. In pre-conventional reasoning, children act almost purely to avoid punishment and to get what they want. In conventional reasoning, they look for approval from their peers and society. In post-conventional reasoning, children make decisions guided by their conscience. During this stage, children begin to develop their self-concept and self-esteem. Self-concept is our perception of ourselves. Self-esteem is how we feel about ourselves and how we fit in with our peers. Adolescence, teenagers. Physical changes. In adolescence, ages 12 to 18 years, vital signs begin to level off within the adult ranges, with a systolic blood pressure generally between 90 and 110 millimeters of mercury, a pulse rate between 60 and 100 beats per minute, and respirations in the range of 12 to 16 breaths per minute. Adolescence is also the time of life when humans experience a 2 to 3 year growth spurt, i.e. an increase in muscle and bone growth, and body changes. Growth begins with hands and feet, then moves to the long bones of the extremities, and finishes with growth of the torso. As a whole, boys experience this growth spurt later in life than girls. Girls finish their growth spurt by 16 years of age, and boys by 18 years of age. When this period of growth has finished, however, boys are generally taller and stronger than girls. Muscle mass and bone density are nearly at adult levels. One of the more subtle changes during adolescence is the maturation of the human reproductive system. Secondary sexual development begins along with enlargement of the external sex organs. Pubic hair and axillary hair begin to appear. Voices start to change in range and depth. In females, the breasts and thighs increase in size as adipose, fat tissue, is deposited there. Menstruation begins during this time. Menarche, the first menstrual bleeding, occurs during this time. However, it is not uncommon to begin menstruation prior to becoming a teenager. These changes in the endocrine and reproductive systems provide the platform for reproduction. By the middle of adolescence, boys are able to produce sufficient sperm and girls are able to develop eggs. Acne can also occur due to hormonal changes. Psychosocial changes. Adolescents and their families often deal with conflict as adolescents try to gain control of their lives from their parents. Privacy becomes an issue among adolescents, their siblings, and their parents. Self-consciousness also increases. Adolescents may struggle to create their own identity, to define themselves, for example, by dressing in a certain style of clothing to fit their personality. Adolescents use the feedback from their family and peers to help create their adult image. Adolescents are often caught between two worlds. They want to be treated like adults, yet want to be cared for like younger children. Rebellious behavior can be part of an adolescent trying to find his or her own identity. Typically, antisocial behavior and peer pressure tend to peak at around age 14 to 16 years. Smoking, illicit drug use, unprotected sex, and other high-risk behaviors also peak during this period. Children can try to exhibit self-control through what they eat, which can lead to eating disorders. Although these behaviors can be very troubling to parents, the adolescent is trying to determine if he or she is ready to take control of his or her own life. An adolescent's struggle toward independence may have setbacks that may be devastating. Patience and support from family and friends are essential in assisting an adolescent's transition into adulthood. Adolescents may also show greater interest in sexual relations. Many adolescents are fixated on their public image and are terrified of being embarrassed. At this age, a code of personal ethics is developed, based partly on parents' ethics and values and partly on the influence of the adolescent's environment. At this tumultuous time, adolescents are at a higher risk than other populations for suicide and depression. Early adults. Physical changes. Early adults range in age from 19 to 40 years. Their vital signs do not vary greatly from those seen throughout adulthood. Ideally, the human pulse rate will average around 70 beats per minute. The respiratory rate will stay in the range of 12 to 20 breaths per minute, and the systolic blood pressure will be approximately between 90 and 140 millimeters of mercury. From age 19 years to shortly after 25 years, the human body should be functioning at its optimal level. Lifelong habits such as eating preferences, exercise, and tobacco use are solidified. At the beginning of this period, the body is working at peak efficiency, but as early adulthood continues, subtle erosion begins. The discs in the spine begin to settle, and height can sometimes be affected, causing a shrinking. Being able to eat anything without gaining weight becomes a thing of the past. Fatty tissue increases, which leads to weight gain. Muscle strength decreases and reflexes slow. Psychosocial changes. Three words best describe a human's world during this stage of life: work, family, stress. During this period, adults strive to create a place for themselves in the world, and many do everything they can to settle down. Along with this natural tendency to settle comes love and childbirth. Despite all of this stress and change, this age group enjoys one of the more stable periods of life. Middle adults. Physical changes. Middle adults are ages 41 to 60 years. The average pulse rate for this age remains at 70 beats per minute. The respiratory rate continues at 12 to 20 breaths per minute, and the blood pressure also remains between 90 and 140 millimeters of mercury. This group is vulnerable to vision and hearing loss. Cardiovascular health also becomes an issue in many of these persons, as does the greater incidence of cancer. In women, menopause, the cessation of menstruation, begins in the late 40s or early 50s. Middle adults may begin having medical problems or be unaware of problems such as diabetes and hypertension. Medications or underlying conditions may affect patient response to treatments. Other concerns include an increase in cholesterol levels, a decrease in the efficiency of the heart, and problems with weight control. Many of the effects of aging can be diminished, however, with exercise and a healthy diet. Psychosocial changes. Middle adults tend to focus on achieving their life's goals as they approach the halfway point in human life expectancy. After years of nurturing and living with children, parents must readjust their lifestyle as children leave home, commonly called the empty nest syndrome. finances may become a worrisome issue as people prepare for retirement while still managing everyday financial demands. During this time, people often view crisis as a challenge to be overcome and not a threat to be avoided. Generally, their health is stable and they have the physical, emotional, and spiritual reserves to handle life's issues. The parents of adults in this age group are getting older and now need care. Most of the elderly in the United States are cared for by family members inside the home. Therefore, a person in middle adulthood may need to manage children who are leaving for college while at the same time caring for parents who require greater assistance. Late adults. Physical changes. Late adults include those ages 61 and older. Life expectancy is constantly changing. In the early 1900s, life expectancy was 47 years. It is now approximately 78 years, with maximum life expectancy estimated at 120 years. The age to which a person will live is based on many factors. Perhaps surprisingly, the year you were born and the country you live in can have an effect on your life expectancy. These two facts are based on public health advances, changes within diets, attitudes regarding exercise, advances in medical care, access to that medical care, and personal behaviors. Later in life, the vital signs depend on the patient's overall health, medical conditions, and medications taken. Today's late adults are staying active longer than their ancestors. Thanks to medical advances, they are often able to overcome numerous medical problems, but may need multiple medications to do so. Cardiovascular system. Cardiac function declines with age consequent to anatomic and physiologic changes that are largely related to atherosclerosis. In this disorder, which most commonly affects coronary vessels, cholesterol and calcium build up inside the walls of blood vessels, forming plaque. The accumulation of plaque eventually leads to partial or complete blockage of blood flow. More than 60% of people older than 65 years have atherosclerotic disease. This can lead to decreased blood supply to the organs of the body. Other age-related changes typically include a decrease in heart rate, a decline in cardiac output, the amount of blood circulated each minute, and the inability to elevate cardiac output to match the demands of the body. This translates into a heart that is less able to respond to exercise or disease. In the event of a life-threatening illness, the body typically needs to increase the heart rate to ensure adequate blood pressure. Because heart muscle may be weakened with age, the increase in heart rate can actually cause damage to the heart itself. The vascular system also becomes stiff. For example, the diastolic blood pressure increases with age. Compensation for blood pressure changes is hampered because these vessels are less able to dilate and contract. As the blood vessels become stiffer, the heart must work harder to be able to move the blood effectively. These stiff blood vessels increase the workload of the heart. Blood cells are also affected by aging. The body's blood cells originate from within the bone marrow. As a person ages, more of the bone marrow is replaced with fatty tissue. This replacement decreases the ability of the bones to manufacture more blood cells when needed. Although typically by itself, this issue does not pose a problem, if an elderly person sustains trauma, the ability of the body to produce blood cells to replace those lost is diminished. Finally, functional blood volume gradually declines over time. Respiratory system. In late adults, the size of the airway increases and the surface area of the alveoli decreases. The natural elasticity of the lungs also decreases, forcing individuals to use the muscles between their ribs, called intercostal muscles, more to breathe. As the elasticity of the lungs decreases, the overall strength of the intercostal muscles and diaphragm also decreases. These factors together make breathing more labor-intensive for the elderly. One would think that a rigid chest would be more protecting, but this rigidity also makes the chest more fragile. Instead of the chest being able to bend and give if struck, the calcified chest can fracture. As with all of the physical changes related to aging, however, the changes in the respiratory system are often gradual and go unnoticed until a severe, life-threatening condition occurs. The older person will then have less respiratory reserve on which to use in order to maintain adequate breathing. Within the mouth and nose, there is a gradual loss of the mechanisms that protect the upper airway. This leads to a decreased ability to clear secretions as well as decreased cough and gag reflexes. The cilia that line the airways diminish with age, while the innervation of the structures in the airway provides increasingly less sensation. Without the ability to maintain the upper airway, aspiration and obstruction become more likely. When a younger patient inhales, the airway maintains its shape, allowing air to enter. As the smooth muscles of the lower airway weaken with age, strong inhalation can make the walls of the airway collapse inward and cause inspiratory wheezing. The collapsing airways result in low flow rates because less air can move through the smaller airways and air trapping because air does not completely exit the alveoli, incomplete expiration. Also within the airways, the cells of the immune system are less functional. As a result of overall decreases in the metabolic activity of the elderly body, the white blood cells found within the airways are less aggressive at fighting invading organisms. This leads to an increased risk of lung infections. By age 75 years, the vital capacity, the volume of air moved during the deepest inspiration and expiration, may amount to only 50% of the vital capacity of a young adult. Factors contributing to this decline include loss of respiratory muscle mass, increased stiffness of the thoracic cage, and decreased surface area available for the exchange of air. Physiologically, vital capacity decreases and residual volume, the amount of air left in the lungs after expiration of the maximum possible amount of air, increases with age. A lifetime of breathing, especially breathing air with high levels of pollution, causes the accumulation of pollutants in the lungs. As a consequence, stagnant air remains in the alveoli and hampers diffusion of gases. The net effect is that the respiratory system is increasingly less able to handle the stresses of disease. This is why a simple cold, which for a 30-year-old would mean a runny nose and body aches, for an 80-year-old could mean pneumonia and possible death. Endocrine system. As with the other systems of the body, the function of the endocrine system gradually declines. Insulin production begins to drop off, and metabolism decreases. As people get older, they tend to slow down their physical activity. Unfortunately, they do not decrease their food intake. When a person gains weight, more insulin is needed to control the body's metabolism and blood glucose, sugar, level. The pancreas may not be able to produce enough insulin for the person's body size, which can lead to diabetes mellitus. The reproductive systems of both men and women change with age. Men are able to produce sperm long into their 80s, but the rigidity of the penis tends to decrease over time. It is unclear whether this decrease is due to aging itself or other diseases such as cardiovascular disease. Women have a decrease in the size of the uterus and vagina. Hormone production for both sexes gradually decreases as they age. Sexual desire may diminish with age, but certainly does not cease. Digestive system. Changes in gastric and intestinal function may inhibit nutritional intake and utilization in older adults. For example, taste bud sensitivity to salty and sweet sensations decreases. The sense of smell can also be diminished. In concert with a decreased taste response, elderly people may find food bland and flavorless. Saliva secretion decreases, which reduces the body's ability to process complex carbohydrates. Older people may have loss of teeth that impacts their ability to chew. The ability of the intestines to contract and move food along diminishes with age. This can lead older adults to feel constipated or not hungry. Likewise, gastric acid secretion diminishes. blood flow may drop by as much as 50%, decreasing the ability of the intestines to extract vitamins and minerals from digested food. Gallstones become increasingly common with age, and anal sphincter changes reduce elasticity and can produce fecal incontinence. Renal systems. In the kidneys, both structural and functional changes occur in the late adult. The filtration function of these organs, for example, declines by 50% from age 20 to 90 years. Kidney mass decreases by 20% over the same span. This is due in part to the decreased effectiveness of the blood vessels that supply blood to the nephrons. Nephrons are sophisticated capillaries that perform filtering in the kidney. One of the portions of the nephron is called the glomeruli. The decreased blood supply causes more abnormal glomeruli to be present as the person ages. The number of nephrons also declines between the ages of 30 to 80 years. This loss of renal function means a decrease in the ability to clear wastes from the body. It also means a decreased ability to conserve fluids when needed. Nervous system. Nervous system changes can result in the most debilitating of age-related ailments. In the central nervous system, the brain weight may shrink 10% to 20% by age 80. Motor and sensory neural networks become slower and less responsive. The metabolic rate in the older brain does not change, however, and oxygen consumption remains constant throughout life. Generally, you have fewer brain cells, neurons, today than you did yesterday. If measured strictly by numbers of brain cells, infants are far more intelligent than any of us. However, this is not how the brain works. Although it is true the elderly have a diminished number of brain cells, there is great flexibility in the operation of the brain. Interconnections between brain cells continue as people age. These new connections provide redundancy within the brain, allowing for loss of neurons without loss of knowledge or skill. One of the consequences of the loss of neurons is a change in the sleep patterns of the elderly. Instead of sleeping through the night, the elderly may take a nap during the day and be up late at night. Their sleep cycle may move into a biphasic, two-phased sleep cycle. Sleep from 1 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock a.m. and then a nap from 12 o'clock p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. The brain, which is surrounded by the meninges, takes up almost all of the space in the skull. Cerebrospinal fluid protects the brain inside these membranes. Unfortunately, age-related shrinkage creates a void between the brain and the outermost layer of the meninges, which provides room for the brain to move when stressed. If trauma moves the brain forcefully, the bridging veins can tear and bleed. Bleeding can empty into this void and may go unnoticed for some time. Functioning of the peripheral nervous system also slows with age. Sensation becomes diminished and misinterpreted. The ability to know where the body is in space, the kinesthetic sense, can be diminished. Increased reaction times cause longer delays between stimulation and motion. The resulting slowdown in reflexes and decreased kinesthetic sense may contribute to the incidence of falls and trauma. Nerve endings deteriorate, and the ability of the skin to sense the surroundings becomes hindered. Hot, cold, sharp, and wet items can all create dangerous situations because the body cannot sense them quickly enough. Sensory changes. Often, it is assumed that the elderly are hard of hearing and have difficulty seeing. There are changes that diminish the effectiveness of the eyes and ears. However, most elderly individuals can hear well and are able to see clearly. They may need glasses or hearing aids, but it is wrong to assume that your older patient is deaf and nearly blind. Pupillary reaction and ocular movements become more restricted with age. The pupils are generally smaller in older patients, and the opacity of the eye's lens diminishes visual acuity and makes the pupils sluggish when responding to light. Visual distortions are also common in older people. Thickening of the lens makes it harder for the eye to focus, especially at close range. Peripheral fields of vision become narrower, and a greater sensitivity to glare constricts the visual field. Hearing loss is about 4 times more common than loss of vision in late adults. Changes in several hearing-related structures may lead to a loss of high-frequency hearing, or even deafness. psychosocial changes. EMTs should treasure their opportunities to spend time with and communicate with the elderly. Many of them have amazing stories and experiences to share with us, yet we often take them for granted. They share with us a great amount of wisdom, and we need to remind them of their self-worth. Until about 5 years before death, most late-stage adults retain high brain function. In the 5 years preceding death, however, mental function is presumed to decline, a theory referred to as the terminal drop hypothesis. As the elderly population continues to grow, we have the responsibility to seek out unique ways to accommodate their needs during their last 20 to 40 years of life. Statistics indicate that 95% of the elderly live at home. They certainly may have the assistance of family, friends, or home health care, but they are relatively healthy, active, and independent. The increasing number of elderly in the United States as a result of the baby boom of the 1940s and 1950s has produced a need for additional assisted living facilities. These facilities allow older adults to live in campus-based communities with people in their own age group, while enjoying the privacy of their own apartment and the security of nursing care, maintenance, and food preparation if desired. Unfortunately, these facilities can be expensive. Most people need to deal with financial issues throughout their lives. Few things in life produce more worry and stress than money problems. Late adults, in particular, may constantly worry about rising costs of health care and are often forced to make decisions such as whether to pay for groceries or their medication. Modern families often take less responsibility for their elderly family members than earlier generations did. Today, more than 50% of all single women in the United States who are 60 years of age or older are living at or below the poverty level. This problem remains to be resolved. One of the important issues that the elderly need to face is their own mortality. The fact is, everyone dies. Yet for most of us, this concept is an intellectual exercise with a distant connection to reality. Elderly persons witness their friends and loved ones, some of whom they have shared this life journey for a half a century or more, die. Isolation and depression are challenges for the elderly. Many elderly persons are happy and actively participating in life, with good financial resources and a good support system of family and friends. Elderly individuals in their 80s can enjoy life and continue to feel productive.